You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
All right. Okay, you can be seated. We're going to go quick, so open your Bibles. Genesis chapter 37. You know, he repeated something I said last night, so if you wasn't here, I want to just clarify that God is after your position. And we have taught so much it's about our pursuit. But you have to understand, God is the pursuer, not you. Now, there's good books out there and chasing God. And how many of y'all ever caught him? How many knows you don't catch God, God catches you. You don't find God, God's not lost. And so if it comes down to you pursuing God, then it's about your works and it's about you. And so whatever you start with, that's what you end up with. So if you start with you, you end up with you. If you start with God, you end up with God. So when you start with your God's righteousness in your life, then you can become righteous. If you start with you being a sinner, guess what? You're going to make excuse for your sin. Y'all out there? So this morning I want to continue talking about encounters. And we started last night, and I just give you a little bit of foundation that sometimes we don't realize this, and we read the stories, but we don't understand the intensity and the depth of what happened. But Solomon, when he asked for wisdom for the kingdom, was in a dream. So in other words, God communicated with Solomon in a dream, asked him questions. Solomon answered the questions. All this happened in a dream. Jacob had a dream. The 12 tribes of Israel were birthed through a dream. Jacob had the dream of the ladder and the angels, and that was in a dream. You see, we see that, and a lot of times we don't realize that we think a dream, because of that word, we think, well, it's just too much pizza. We wake up and go, man, that was weird. You know, God wants to speak to you spirit to spirit. Some of you, he has to wait till you go to sleep before he can talk to you. And the reason is because you don't think it's possible when you're awake. You're like, oh, that's just my imagination. We were talking this morning over coffee, and how many of y'all ever been tempted by the enemy? So when you get tempted by the enemy, you're resisting him, right? In the spiritual world. You never say, oh, that's my imagination. But God tries to talk to you in the spiritual world, and you'll go, oh, that's weird. That must be my imagination. That must be me. Come on, are you with me? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Jesus spoke to them and he said, listen, under the religious rules and under the law, he would say, if you sleep with a woman, you're committing adultery. He said, let me go a little bit further. Let me show you the other realm. If in your imagination you go into that realm and you sleep with her, come on. It's as if you did it in the physical realm. What's he doing? He's comparing two realms. He said, if you go into the imagination realm, or if you go into that realm and you do it, it's just as you did it in the physical realm. You understand what I'm talking about? See, we are supposed to be supernatural people. Are you with me? You're a dual citizen. You have rights here and you have rights there. Matter of fact, I'm going to teach on this tonight, but I'll show you where Jesus talked about going in and out of that realm. And he did it constantly. And he is the one that we're supposed to look to get our understanding of how he operated. Yeah. I talked about it a little bit last night, and I know it'll challenge you, but Jesus did not operate in faith. Jesus operated in dominion. Yeah. Faith is actually an Old Testament term. We think it's a New Testament term, but it's not. Faith started with what? Abraham, the father of our... Oh, wow. Y'all do read the Bible. You see, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What did Jesus do? He didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. So he wasn't operating by faith, he's operating by dominion. Yeah. Everybody knows Adam didn't operate by faith. Adam operated by dominion. Are y'all out there? Yeah. See, we've got a people. See, I'm not against faith, but faith gets us there to go into dominion. Dominion means you take dominion over the rule, the authority. It's called raw dog. It means the authority to rule over what God has already given you. Yes. You should not be working to get something from God. You should be working taking care of what God's already given you. So you don't work to get God's acceptance. You work from God's acceptance. You don't work trying to be a son and daughter of God. You are a son and daughter of God, and you work from that place and that position. So when you work from that position, you understand it. It's your rights to encounter him. It's your right to have visitation. It's your rights to shift things in the natural. Why? Because the supernatural is where you're seated. So if you can learn to operate from the supernatural, you can manifest it in the natural. This is how Jesus operated. So I want to tell you this story. I'll make it legal, so I'll read a scripture. Chapter 37. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha and his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, I can understand this passage is because I'm the youngest of 13. I had six brothers and six sisters. I mean, there's probably some jealousy going on because I'm the youngest, and when they hit perfection, mom and dad just decided to stop. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And so you have to understand, this is what Joseph was dealing with. He had, you know, his father had kids by three different women here. And here you can imagine they are jealous of Joseph because Joseph is the son of his old age. And he keeps him at home and makes the other boys go out and work in the field. Well, we call that a mama's boy, right? Seemed like Joseph didn't bother him too much. And not only that, then his daddy sends him out to check on his brothers and sisters. Y'all know what we call that, right? Tattletales. Go out and find out what's going on. Come back and tell us the truth, because I know some things out there they're doing they shouldn't be doing. Well, he comes back and tells him. On top of that, daddy loves him more than him and makes him a coat of many colors. Man, he's just setting Joseph up. Come on, they already don't like him. And then in the midst of this, you have to understand in that culture, in that time, when you had a dream and you come and shared a dream, that's how God spoke to them in that day. So he comes and tells his brother, says, man, I had a dream. And he talks about this dream of the field where the sheaves bowed down to him. Wow, Joseph, you're not really smart here. They already don't like you. They already are mad at dad because his favor is upon you. And then you're going to come to them and say, yeah, y'all all going to worship me. And I'm the youngest. How y'all like that? Then he takes it another step further, has another dream and shares it with everybody, even his mom and dad, right? And what was it about? Not the earth, but about the heavens, about the stars and the moon and the sun. How many knows he wasn't talking about the moon and the sun? See, a lot of times we misinterpret this and we think, well, he was just talking about his mom and dad. He really wasn't just talking about his mom and dad. Because nowhere, you know, his mom didn't even make it. So she didn't come to Egypt and bow down before him. What actually God was showing Jacob here is heaven and earth are going to be underneath your rule. Let me say that again. He's actually showing him in an encounter what I'm doing with you, Joseph. If you'll go through the process of this purpose, heaven and earth are subject to you. So you have to understand, that's what Romans talks about. And it says the whole creation is groaning, crying out for who? Not apostles, not prophets, not pastors, teachers, evangelists, sons. Why? Because inheritance comes to sons. See, those fivefold ministries are gift, not identity. Your identity is sonship. And when I say sonship, there's no gender there. See, the original Adam operated in dominion. How many knows the second Adam come to get that back for us? That means heaven and earth is subject to us when you operate as a son upon the planet. That's why it says all creation is groaning for this, the manifestation of the sons. That word actually means the maturity of sons operating in the identity as if Jesus himself was walking on the planet. What happened when Jesus himself walked on the planet? Heaven and earth was at his disposal. Matter of fact, he did miracles, signs, and wonders, but the disciples said, when he stopped the storm, the disciples said, what kind of man is this? That even the elements have to listen to him. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? And see, we have created a theology that we're waiting on God to come do something. No, he's waiting on you to mature into who you're supposed to be. Amen. As he lived on the earth, so are you to live. Why? Because Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives on the inside of me. So in John 17, where he said, I pray that you be one, like me and Father is one, he expects you to operate on the earth the way he did. Amen. How did he operate? He operated in union with Father. He operated in intimacy with Father. He knew the identity. He even knew why he was on the planet. Come on, you have the right to know your purpose and why you're here. You're not here to take up some space, breathe a little bit, have some kids, and die. You are not here for that. And we have this theology that, you know, we just have some good kids and just make it to, you know, retirement and, you know, just live a good few years and everything's good. Now, I don't want good kids. I want world changers. I want somebody that to believe that our God is the only God. I want somebody to believe that our God can stand up and show Allah that he is God. And that we really can change some things and shift some things. Why? It belongs to us. He said, this is our house. This is our planet. This is our city. It's got to change if you live there. But you're not going to change the house of God. You're not going to change your city. You're not going to change your nation if you don't first allow that change in you and in your home. Because you will operate the same way in church you operate at home. You out there. God wants to encounter you. I say it all the time. He wants to show you who you are. Because when you understand who you are, you become dangerous to the territory of the enemy. This is what Joseph was dealing with. This was the process. Here's the problem. We abort the process. Nobody likes the process. Everybody loves the palace. Everybody wants to be in charge. But nobody wants to go through the process to be in charge. See, the testing has to come to see if he can trust you with true riches. And true riches is not money. Are you with me? Money is just a training ground to see if he can trust you, whether you're serving that or serving him. And if you're serving that, he'll never be able to use you in true riches. True riches is when somebody has cancer, you can serve them healing. True riches is when somebody is bound by the devil, you can serve them deliverance. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Can he trust you with the most important thing that's on the planet, and that's called souls? Come on, you are God's red Corvette. Come on, when he dreams about you. He don't dream about a big house, he dreams about you. You are his dream. And so he's encountering Joseph here, and he's showing Joseph, he's giving him an opportunity, a young boy. But the first thing we got to deal with is we got to deal with man's approval. Because you'll never get God's approval as long as you're settled with man's approval. So here Joseph goes out, brings a bad report. You know the whole story. These brothers start colluding against him. And the first thing they do when they come and get this plan is what do? They strip the identity of what Father put upon him. What? The coat of many colors. See, this is really not a bad thing. This is actually what has to happen to you. Because if you love the approval of man, you will never fully move into the approval of God. Jesus showed forth that when he came up on the planet. Come on. He preached to the multitudes, but he gave his life to 12. And even they rejected him. Hello. See, you can have a big church, especially in America. You can have a big church. Just preach to them what you want them to hear. What they want to hear. Just tell them they're going to heaven, pay their tithes, and everything will be okay. You can go to heaven, but you'll never bring heaven here. And see, we got to determine, do we want to have a big church or do we want to have an impact? Jesus only had 12. One of them got away, and he replaced him with a pretty good replacement, don't you think? Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And these 12 men turned the world upside down. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So really, you got to determine what do you want here. Do you want to just go to a church that just tells you what you want to hear and hold on and make it through? Or do you really believe that you have a God that lives on the inside of you that wants to shift nations?
Yes, amen.
This is the reformation that is upon us at this time. We're having to decide what do we believe. Because I'll tell you something, it's like I said last night, you don't believe anything you ain't doing. You can have mental agreement, but mental agreement is not belief. Belief means it follows you. You believe in healing, then people get healed. You believe in deliverance, guess what? People get delivered around you. Why? These signs will follow those that. So here he's going through this process. They strip him of what his father has put upon him, and then they throw him in a pit. Right? Can you imagine being thrown in this pit? Now, what's happening? He has nowhere to look but where? Now, you have to understand, this is his brothers. He's probably thinking, they're going to come back and get me. They're just messing with me. Right? And the other thing is, you know, they come back, and when they come back, they've already devised this plan. And you can imagine when they're pulling him out of the pit, he's probably thinking, yeah, see, I knew. I knew y'all going to come back and get me. They didn't know, uh-oh, they're going to sell me to the Ishmaelites. They're going to sell me to the enemy. Are you with me? And so when they do this, and he goes, and they take him to Potiphar's house, can you imagine, he doesn't know that they go back and tell daddy that he's dead. So he's probably got this mindset that daddy going to come looking for me. Do you understand? See, what am I saying in that? See, there's times that God will let you go through seasons that you think he ought to do something the way he ought to do it, and he doesn't do it that way. See, God's got a big problem. He thinks he's God. He's in charge. So what does he do? He gives you every opportunity to be offended. Why? Because he's testing your heart. Did you hear me? He's testing your heart. Why is he testing your heart? He's got to know, can he trust you? Or will you become a victim instead of victor? Because when you become a victim, then what does it do? It becomes about you now. You have to understand, the king and the kingdom, it's not about you, it's about him. When you make it about you, you're in the wrong gospel. See, you get in on the blessings because you're a joint heir with somebody. You get the blessings of Jesus because you're a joint heir with him about what he did. Yes, sir. That's why when you pray over your food, you say in Jesus' name. Because yes, you have the blessings because of what he did. Yes, y'all just did it because you were told to. You really don't even know what it means. Come on, most of you just say in Jesus' name. You don't know what you're talking about. You're actually saying, I have the right to pray this prayer because of what my big brother did. In Jesus' name, I invoke the authority of what he did for me, and I release it into this right now. Yes, that's what in Jesus' name means. So he's going through this. He goes into Potiphar's house, and what happens? He gets elevated. He's over everything in his house. Everything's looking good for him, even though he's in bondage, right? And then what happens? All of a sudden, something comes after him. I don't believe it just a one time. I believe she saw something. Guys and girls, let me tell you something. You ain't that pretty. They ain't after your prettiness. They're after your anointing.
That's it.
They're after what you carry. And Joseph understood that. And he's looking at her and he said, God forbid that I would do this. Master's put me over everything but you. There's no way I can do this. What do you have to do? He had to run. Listen, when that kind of temptation comes, you don't stand and negotiate. You don't stand in conversation so you can feel good about yourself. You better get out of there. Why? Because he's telling you that's a spirit that's coming after something, that there's place in there if you don't run. In other words, if you don't flee it, it'll talk you into it.
Yes.
Come on, there's two reasons I don't commit adultery on my wife. One, afraid I'm going to get caught. Two, it's because I love her so much, I don't want to damage the relationship.
Yeah, right.
Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
If it's because of number one, sooner or later it'll present itself, and I'll try it. But if it's because of number two, I'll never do it because I don't want to offend the relationship I have with her. You think I'm talking about my wife, but I'm actually talking about Jesus in the church. See, you can sin and ask forgiveness. It's not an issue of getting forgiveness or getting caught. The issue is it damages the relationship between you and him. He never leaves you, but it separates you from him. Because guilt and condemnation then becomes a part of your life. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't want to sin, not because I don't want to be forgiven for it. I don't want to sin because I don't want to damage the relationship between me and my father. You following me? So here he's been put over everything in the house, and the wife, how many know this wasn't no accident? The wife is coming after him, and she's after the anointing. It talks about he's a good-looking guy, but it was more than being a good-looking guy. She was after something that he carried. He was after that DNA we talked about. To shift it. God will allow that to see where you're at. Can he trust you? These are things you're going to go through. Come on, what was the pit? Rejection. Listen, if you can't handle rejection, you're not going to get very far in the kingdom. You'll tell people what they want to hear if you can't handle rejection. Don't base your ministry or your life on people's rejection or their praise, because it'll go back and forth really quick. I've had people come to our church that praise me like crazy, and I just step back. So I just watch you. Because when you're real quick to praise, you'll be real quick to reject. Come on, I'm just telling you. And I've learned, you know, the relationship has to develop. It takes time to have a true relationship where people say, I love you, right? But you get this in the church, I love you, brother. I'm like, all right, we'll see. Till I say something makes you mad, then we'll see. Because you really never have relationship or covenant till you disagree. Come on. And I promise you, I don't care what church you go to, I don't care where you're connected, you're going to disagree. And so what we do is we pull that scripture out and say, well, we can't walk together now. I got to go to another church because we disagree. Well, then you need to get a divorce then. Go, why? Because I promise you, a husband and wife ain't always going to agree. But see, we're in covenant. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's what a prophetic word is, what your wife told you 3 days before. See, I understand something. I don't always agree with my wife, but I'm in covenant with my wife. So I don't break relationship just because she's wrong. I mean, because we... And see, that's what we've done. We have gathered around doctrinal issues instead of the presence. And then we wonder why we don't have the presence. Because we're not in unity. We're not together. We just want you to shut up till I can show you my point of view and prove to you that I'm right. Listen, if you got to prove your point, you don't have a point. Come on, did you get that? If you have to prove your point, you have no point. That's why when the devil said, if you be the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Guess what? If he has to prove he's the Son of God, then he don't know he's the Son of God. That's why he looked at him and goes, it's written. You know what he was saying? Go talk to Daddy. Daddy's the one that told me I'm his son. I don't have to prove to you that I'm a son. My daddy said I'm his son. If you don't believe I'm his son, go talk to Daddy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he goes through this, and then he gets rejected, and then he goes into this place of accusation. Guess what? If you're going to do anything in the kingdom, you're going to be accused. And you know what you're going to do? The first thing your flesh wants to do, it wants to prove that you didn't do it. God put him in a place that he could not prove he didn't do it. Matter of fact, he set him up. I mean, anybody smart enough that if you're going to run, take your cloak with you. Don't leave your clothes behind, Joseph. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. So she had proof. Look, the guy you put in here, look what he tried to do to me. What's he going to say? See, God sometimes will put you in a place where you have no words to defend yourself. Don't try. Don't try. What is it? It's a test. If you always have to defend yourself, you're a snake and not a worm. Y'all didn't get that one. See, Jesus said, I become a worm. That's what Jesus said, that you would step on me and squish me. Yeah. Step on a snake, what happens? See, you determine you're going to be like Jesus or you're going to be like flesh. Because anytime you step on flesh, it'll strike back. See, if you have to strike back, you a snake. You're the one that, you signed up for this. You said, God, I want you to use me. And then people use you and you get mad. And you go around telling everybody how people used you. Well, you once signed up and told God, use me. Why are you mad? Listen, people are going to use you. But it's not just in the church. Go in the business world. Same thing going to happen. People say, well, I don't go to church because kind of people is in the church. Well, then you don't go to work then. Well, the same people out there working, doing the same thing. They're out for themselves. Don't judge the church by the people. Judge the church by the God that's over the church. So he goes through this, and then he goes from there and he goes into the prison. Now most people, most theologians, as they've looked at this, they believe he was in there for maybe 13 years. Oh, we don't like that process. I mean, come on, God, if you're going to put us through something, we're a microwave generation. 3 minutes. Give me something now. I ain't going through the process. I'm going to abort this thing. How many of you women get pregnant and want to birth the baby at 2 months? How many knows it ain't going to be good? Why? It's not time. See, there's timing of the process for things to develop in your life. If you think you can handle it, but you can't. And you really don't know till you go through it. You have an idea what I think I would do. I tell you, I can look back on my life and go, ooh, I thought I was ready then. I was asking for things that I was not mature enough for. I thank God that God didn't leave me in that place. But he asked, you have to go through this process. Because why? God wants to take you somewhere. He wants you to rule and reign, but you don't get in the kingdom one day and rule and reign the second day. You don't push the elevator and go to the top. There's no elevators in the kingdom. It's called stairs. Time to work out. Come on, everybody's got to get it the same way. Everybody's got to go through these. Why? Because there's no other way that he can see can he trust you. Here's the good news. You never fail a test.
Amen.
You just get to take it again.
And
if you're taking a test, that means you have the information to pass the test or the test couldn't come. So you're mad at the test when the test is actually the promotion. Because you can't be promoted without a test. Here's the other news. When you're taking the test, God don't talk. Come on, you ever talking test in school? Teacher don't talk when you're taking a test. You say, teacher, I got a question. You're taking a test. You can ask the question before the test, but when the test thought, so you mad because God ain't talking. God's saying, listen, you already know the answer.
Yeah, right.
Or the test couldn't be there.
That's right.
You already have in you what it takes to kill the giant, or the giant couldn't be facing you. So quit getting mad at God about the giant.
Right.
See, the reason most of you can't hear God is because you're always talking about your problems. God won't talk to you about his problems. Why? Because he don't have any. You want to talk about lack of money. He don't have a lack of money. You want to talk about what they did to you. Come on. You have to understand, he don't have no problems. He just has answers. So as long as you won't sit and talk about the problem, you're going to get mad at God because he ain't talking to you. You start talking about the answers, you'll start hearing him. Why? Because that's what he's based on. He's based on answers. He don't have any problems. So Joseph's going through this process, and then he goes and gets put into prison. Same thing happens in prison. Even in the midst of everything he's going through, God's promoting him. How do you see promotion? See, is promotion something you're carrying, or does promotion have to do with your circumstances? See, you can be promoted and your circumstances look bad. Oh, y'all missed it. In other words, you can be in jail and have peace that surpasses understanding, and everybody else is in torment and you're loving it.
Come on.
Why? Because you're carrying heaven on the inside of you and your circumstances are not dictating to you where you're at.
Yes, amen.
See, my life changed on December 20th, 2016. My son got thrown out of a truck doing 100 miles an hour. And they called me and basically said, we don't know what's going on. He's got thrown out. They're telling me we can't go up there. And so I hung up the phone. I slipped over and I said, God, you got to show me what's going on. Instantly, I was in the room of the hospital. I saw them with my son, and God said, I got him. He's going to be okay.
Yes,
my wife said, oh, are we going to go? And I said, no. Turned over and went to sleep. God's honest truth.
Yes,
people say, oh, no, once I hear God, everything else has to change. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter anything else. I've heard God.
Yes.
And when I hear God, everything else is changing.
Yes.
The next morning we got up and we made plans and we went up there. And the wife said, listen, I want you to come in and talk to the doctor and he's going to tell you what's going on. I said, no, I ain't talking to the doctor. She said, what do you mean? You don't know what's going on? I said, I already know what's going on. That doctor can't tell me nothing. I said, you have to understand something. Doctor ain't going to get him up. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I stepped in that place and God asked me that morning. He said, why should I give your son a miracle and not everybody else in here? We're in the ICU unit. Everybody in there is believing for a miracle. He said, why should I give you one, not everybody else? Now, when God asks a question, he's not looking for information. He wants to know, do you have revelation? Because here's the truth. He's already given everybody in there a miracle. He did it 2,000 years ago. The thing is, as a son or a daughter, do you understand the relationship of how to go in and get that miracle that you need? Because it's already available. And the worst thing I can do is listen to man to tell me that the miracle is not available. So I'm not going to listen to anything that's going to come against what I'm believing for. So I have to get away from that kind of stuff. It's not that I don't appreciate the doctors. Matter of fact, when they took me in there, I set them down and I said, now let me tell you what's going to happen. I said, I'm not being rude. I appreciate you going to school. I said, I know y'all cannot do anything for him. I know y'all think he's brain dead, but he's going to get up. He's going to wake up. And we're going to take him to a rehab in Houston. And they're just looking at me and they're going, sir, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. They said, well, we can't bring faith into this. I said, I'm not asking you to. I said, I'm telling you what I believe, and I'm telling you what's going to happen.
Yes, amen.
Now, they were in denial until he woke up after 52 days. And after he spoke on the 52nd day, and I walked into that hospital room, how many knows we had a revival on that floor? They said, we know what that man talking about now. And he went from 2 days from speaking to going into a rehab. And they were freaking out. They go, this never happens. I go, yeah, isn't that awesome? I said, I told you he was real. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, it was an opportunity for me to say, let me show you that God is real. Let me prove to you that God is real. And I'm not going to do it through elegant words. I'm going to be like Paul. I got to do it in power and demonstration. See, God gives you opportunities to prove the kingdom lives on the inside of you. He gives you those opportunities. What we do, we become a victim in the midst of them and griping and complaining about the opportunity. The only way you can overcome is to have something to overcome. And then you're mad when you're facing something. Come on. Listen, you cannot be promoted without a giant. The giant is there for you to kill it. And we're listening to the giant mock us. Did you notice when David showed up, the giant's mocking? He said, hey, shut up. This is Begley translation. They'll listen to your mocking. I'm not going to listen to you. Let me tell you what I'm about to do to you. Because you're an uncircumcised Philistine. You know what that means? You're not in covenant with my God. What does that mean? There is no hope for you.
Yep.
You're dead. You just don't know it.
Yep.
Why? Because God's on my side. I'm in covenant with him. You will not live. Because this battle is not between me and you. It's between your God, Dagon, and my God, Jehovah. And he's about to prove that he is God.
Yes,
you're coming down.
Yes,
he could stand in that kind of confidence because he had a relationship with that kind of God. See, I could stand in that kind of confidence with these people because I have that kind of relationship with my God. You understand what I'm saying? See, the greatest risk is not taking one. Did you get that? See, people don't like risk. The world calls it risk. Church calls it faith. See, you got to step out there. And you got to say what God said. Now listen, I wasn't just speaking something. I had to find out what is God saying. Once I hear what God is saying, then I have something to establish. But I knew God said it's going to be all right. Now, in the midst of that, I got to determine as I'm walking, what does that mean? Is it going to be all right because he's dead and he made it to heaven? Is it going to be all right because he's going to come back here? But the bottom line is I had peace that he's going to be all right. So then I had to walk it out of how it's going to happen. Are you following me? This is what Joseph had to go through. It had to be okay with him of what he was going through because he had to understand he was going through a process. What we do is we become a victim. We get mad at the people for what they do to us. You know what Joseph said? You didn't do this to me. Did you get that revelation? He said, I'm not offended at you. You know what he was saying? God did this to me. God used you to bring out of me what was in me so I could deal with it so I could be put second in charge. Think about it. He gets put in prison, and what does he do in there? Has another dream. Right? No. Remember, he's had two dreams. Now it's not him dreaming. It's the butler and the... Right? So now he's in a place of restriction. Oh, this one nobody likes. We can handle a little bit of rejection, a little bit of accusation, but we don't like restriction. See, restriction is when God don't let you do what you think you can do because of who you are. And then he'll start doing things through the world and then let you give the answer to the problem. Because what he's showing Joseph, this ain't about you. This is bigger than about you. See, if you're in your own stuff, you don't want to minister to anybody else because it's about you. But they have a dream. He comes and gives a great interpretation. You're going to be restored. Right? You'll restore to serving the king. And the butler comes and, well, he had a good one. Let me interpret mine. Well, yours is not so good. This is what's going to happen. And your head's coming off. Come on, why? Because if you're a true prophetic person, you got to just say what God says. You don't get to determine. You're going to get a house. You're going to get a bigger house. We got people in Houston, man. You line up, they give you $100 for a word. Yeah, and people line up to give the prophet $100. You give them more, the word gets better. That's a true story. I'm just like, this is unbelievable, man. And here's the bad thing, people do it. Why? Because they want a good word from God. How many knows every word is not always good?
Yeah.
See, truth tells you where you're at.
Yeah.
Not just where you want to go. So in the midst of this, he comes, he gives them the word. Can you imagine? He gets restored, and then what does he do? He tells him, don't forget me. When you get restored, don't forget me. What happened? He forgave him. How many knows he didn't forgive him? God went, Why? God did that. God said, because he ain't time. Because if he would have got out right then, he would have just been someone that got out of prison because he wasn't ready for the position. He still had to go through the process. So he had to go through being left out, forgotten. And then all of a sudden, here an ungodly Pharaoh has a dream. And when he tells the dream, what happens? The guy remembers, oh my gosh, I'm such a wicked person. The guy that gave me the interpretation of my dream, that the reason I'm here today, I forgot him. I know a man, he's in prison. He can interpret your dream. How many knows when they come to get Joseph, he said, wait a minute, let me shave, let me change my clothes. What was he saying? I'm ready. I'm not coming back here.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Did you get that? He understood when that opportunity presented itself, guess what? I'm burning my bridges. I ain't coming back. Let me clean up because I'm about to go represent my God. And when he went in there, then he told him the interpretation of the dream. And you know what the Pharaoh did? Is there anybody in the kingdom that can carry this out? Yeah, I think so. How about you? Why? Because nobody else could interpret the dream. You must be the one that knows how to deal with the dream. Does it make sense? What's happening? God is doing something in us through identity that the world is going to start to have issues that they can't fix. They're looking for someone they can come to. God is wanting to raise up his people to where they're not so based on their gifting, but they're based on their identity. They have went through the process and become mature to take the position that the world used to hold in ungodly rule, that God's people could operate in godly rule. But if we abandon the process, we will not be mature enough for the position. Are you with me? So he stays in prison, goes through the whole process, gets restored, gets put in a place of power. You know what happens? A famine comes, just like the dream. And then his family comes to Egypt. Do you understand? If he would abandon the process, watch this, the Messiah would have died in the wilderness. You understand the seed? The Messiah came through the 12 tribes of Israel, Judah. So what God did through Joseph was positioned him to prepare for the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
Wow, what a purpose that he could have abandoned it. He could have aborted it, but instead he stayed true to the process. But watch this, because it wasn't about him. It was about the king and the kingdom. And so even when his brothers came and they told the truth, he had to reveal to them, and watch this, I'm almost done. He had to reveal to them, he said, this is what you don't understand. They thought he was going to kill him. When daddy died, they were like, oh, you're going to kill us. He had to reveal to them. You know how he revealed to them who he was? He brought them in private and he exposed himself because he was circumcised.
All right.
You know what he was saying? I'm in covenant.
Yes.
Come on. Y'all need to get that. See, you got to be in covenant with your family. It doesn't matter what they do to you. Matter of fact, whatever they do to you, it actually exposes what's in you. So when someone does you wrong, it's actually an opportunity to be blessed. Depends on how you deal with it. But the biggest thing that stops us from hearing God and operating in the kingdom is offense. Whether it's through rejection, accusation, persecution, affliction. Matter of fact, he tells you all those things are going to come for what? The word's sake. Why? Because the word comes to try you to see if you can handle what's coming. That's what he said to Joseph. He said, the word come and tried you. Are you ready? Can you handle this? Do you really want to walk in authority? Do you really want to walk in dominion? Because you raise somebody from the dead, can you handle that? Because all your friends are going to be calling you when somebody dies now. Can you handle that kind of pressure? Come on, do you ever think about it like that? But I'm telling you, this kind of stuff's going to start to happen. And I knew a position with my son, that's where I was at, because I had a right to stand in that place, but I had to hear God. And so I'm telling you, this is what the reformation is happening right now. It's happening on the inside of you, not on the outside of you. I'm telling you, God's used the outpourings, but this move is not going to be an outpouring. It's going to be an uprising, because he's equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry.
Yes,
they're going to find their identity and who they are. They're going to allow the process and not abort it. And you're going to see a move of God sweep the planet like we have never seen. You're going to see grandmas and grandpas. You're going to see ones that thought, ain't no way God can use them like that. And they're going to be raising the dead. They're going to be doing incredible things. Why? Because they're sons and daughters and it belongs to them. So you got breath in your lungs, he not done. He not finished with you. I don't care what you've done in the past. Forget about it. We're going to the future. I don't care how great Moses was in the past, Joshua's on the scene. Yes. But here's the good news. Without Moses, there was no Joshua. Without Elijah, there is no Elisha. Yes. You following what I'm saying? Yes. Thank God for all of what our forefathers have done. That's why we're here today. But I'm not looking back to what they've done. I'm grabbing and carrying on what they've done and making it greater for the future. Amen? So I want you to say this with me. Say, I will not abort the process, but I will mature for the position and the purpose that God has for me in the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.